Montana State University, and he's going to be talking about greater recovery of fertilizer nitrate versus ammonium sources in agricultural soils in central Montana.
Thanks. This presentation is part of my thesis, which is mainly focused on studying the fate and cycling of nitrogen fertilizer using tracer techniques. In this case, wheat-based cropping systems in central Montana. As we know, an effective management of fertilizer nitrogen is going to deal with four main issues, like nitrogen rate, source, timing, and placement. And the particular relevance of these factors in enhancing the fertilizer nitrogen recovery by crops is going to be affected by interactions between them, but also they're going to be influenced by external factors like precipitation, the type of soils, and management practices like crop rotations and tillage. This topic is very broad, so I will be mainly focused on talking about the effects of nitrogen source on nitrogen use efficiency. The motivation for this particular study were the findings or the results from two fertilizer trials conducted in central Montana that basically revealed that the N15 recovery, either in the straw or grain, was significantly higher when the fertilizer was delivered to the wheat, to winter wheat, sorry, in a nitrate form, in this case sodium nitrate. And in contrast, these recoveries were lower when the fertilizer was delivered in an ammonium-based, like urea, or even urea with a urease inhibitor like MBPT. These particular results reflect the N15 recovery following broadcast spring applications, and where volatilization losses were really minimal. So we thought that perhaps another process like nitrogen immobilization was explaining this differential recovery, and more specifically, a preferential immobilization of the ammonium released from the urea was explaining this differential recovery. So the objectives of this research were to study nitrogen immobilization and the effect of nitrate or ammonium under control conditions. And the second one, to study the process in the field. And for that, we basically continued the fertilizer trial for a third year. And by adding the N15 analysis of the soil, we hope to better understand the fate and cycling of fertilizer and how it's partitioned between the winter wheat and the soil. So for the first objective, I ran a short-term incubation study, 26 days, with topsoil that I collect from the field site that we observed this differential recovery. This incubation was performed at 10 degrees Celsius to mimic soil temperatures following broadcast spring applications in central Montana. The treatment consists of two end sources, ammonium sulfate and sodium nitrate, and in combination with three levels of glucose that were added, 0, 10, and 100 milligrams of glucose. And these ones were added in conjunction with a fertilizer to create a gradient of immobilizing conditions. I sampled, or basically extract, these incubation bottles seven times within this incubation period, and then I analyzed the soil for inorganic and organic nitrogen. More specifically, this soil analysis consists of on a triple KCl extraction of the same sample to make sure that we got rid of all of the inorganic N. And by default, the N15 concentration that we're analyzing in the soil residue is basically assumed to be immobilized by the soil microbes. So we basically track the disappearance of the inorganic N from the soil extract and its simultaneous conversion to organic nitrogen in the soil residue. So here we have the results for the N15 recovery in the residue, the organic nitrogen, over the 26 days incubation period for the sodium nitrate and ammonium sulfate and across the three different gradients of glucose carbon. In general, we can see that when we add glucose, the immobilization proceeds faster and the recovery was higher, and that's basically reflecting and enhance microbial activity and microbial biomass in the soil. If we take a look to the left, to those soils that did not receive glucose, or those that in the middle that received 10 milligrams of glucose, we can see that the N15 recovery for the ammonium sulfate proceeds faster and the plateaus was higher compared to the sodium nitrate, and this is clearly reflecting a preferential immobilization of ammonium. And in contrast, when we add glucose in excess, although the immobilization proceeds faster during the first day for the ammonium sulfate, in the middle and towards the end, the N15 that was left in the soil was similar for sodium nitrate and ammonium sulfate. And that's probably basically because the microbes have an excess of glucose, so they can assimilate nitrate as well. Another way to look at this result is basically to calculate an immobilization ratio, and that's basically the amount of N15 left in the soil treated with ammonium sulfate divided the N15 in the soils treated with sodium nitrate. If we look at the 0 milligrams carbon, the red dots, we can see that the immobilization ratios were larger, and they start to decrease as soon as we increase the amount of glucose that we add to the soil. And for example, in the case that we add the excess of glucose, the black in the bottom, we can see that the immobilization ratios approach unity, again, in the middle and towards the end of the incubation period. So what I learned from this study is that preferential immobilization is taking place, and microbes do prefer ammonium instead of nitrate, but that relationship is going to be affected by carbon availability. For the field studies, as I said before, we continue the fertilizer trials for a third year. So we add the same sources, urea in combination with a urease inhibitor MVPT and sodium nitrate. The wheat biomass sampling took place three times during the growing season. We analyzed the tissue for N15 concentration. In the case of the harvest sampling, we analyzed, we partitioned the N15 analysis between the grain and the straw. And the soil, I took soil cores up to 6 inches during early season, approximately a month after spring application. And then the following year in April, and that was approximately 1 year after we broadcast the N15 in the soil. I forgot. We apply this fertilizer in the fall, winter, and spring, and I will be mainly focused on talking about the spring results. Well, here we have an illustration of an N15 microplot. I basically collect wheat biomass for the early and mid-season, 1 meter of a row of wheat biomass, and then for the harvest, I collect 2 rows. The soil cores were taken from in between rows, and they basically were, in general, a composite sample of 3 cores. Okay, here we have the N15 recovery in the first 6 inches of soil, and in a month and a year after we broadcast the fertilizer for the spring. In general, we can see that the recoveries were higher, almost higher, when the fertilizer was applied in ammonium form. And for the April, 1 year after we applied the fertilizer, those N15 concentrations are probably not reflecting accurately what generally was left at the moment of harvest. But we may infer that this nitrogen immobilization increased with the course of the growing season. And if we take into account that these N15 recoveries were 1 year after, we can also may assume that the stability of this N15-1 is incorporated to the organic matter may be pretty stable. In the case of the N15 recovery in the plant for the spring applications among the growing season, for the 3 sampling events, we can see that the recoveries were significantly higher for the sodium nitrate, and again, the MVPT and urea recoveries were lower, and they were really similar, suggesting again that volatilization probably was not a main pathway of the nitrogen cycle in this case. If we take a look to the total recovery of N15 straw and grain, in general, the recoveries were higher for the spring, and that's because we have a better synchronization with the fertilizer application and the crop uptake. And again, as I said before, sodium nitrate was higher than the other 2 sources. If we take a look at the recoveries for the 3 sources within each sampling broadcast application timing, the effects were significant in the fall and the spring, and they were not significant during the winter, although these differences were higher, I guess, in the spring. So what I learned from this study is that preferential immobilization is taking place in the soil. Microbes prefer the ammonium, and that's basically why we are observing lower recoveries in winter wheat. And that's probably because although we are broadcasting the fertilizer in a wheat stubble, which has a white CN ratio, the decomposition of this stubble is really slow. So I guess there's not going to be enough available carbon to promote an aggressive uptake of nitrate. And also because it's a no-till field where the contact between the fertilizer and the straw is minimal. Secondly, I think it's important, or the relevance of this immobilization is going to be dependent with the application time. And it's going to be more relevant when we have a synchronization of the fertilizing application and crop uptake, like the spring. And thirdly, what I'm looking for right now is what happened with this N15-1 is incorporated to the soil organic matter. How much is going to be available for the following growing season? And that's, I guess, it's important to kind of adjust fertilizer rates. And in the case you have a fallow phase, to try to estimate how much nitrate is going to leach when the crops are not using it. So with that, I would like to thank Montana State University, the College of Agriculture, and the Montana Fertilizer Advisory Committee who support this study. Thank you. Yeah.
Do you think you recover more of the N15-2?
Yeah, actually, this season we went up to 12 inches, so we're trying to figure out how much N15 is left if you look down the profile. Although this area, the precipitation is very limited, so I don't think the nitrogen is going to leach. The nitrogen from a single application is not going to leach so far.